Hey everyone, welcome back to BrightLearn.ai. You know, we've got something really fascinating to dive into today. Something that goes way beyond just weird memory glitches. We're talking about reality rewritten, the Mandela effect, and the mystery of collective memory. And let me tell you, this book isn't just another conspiracy theory deep dive. It's a serious exploration of why millions of people, smart, rational people, remember things that, according to official records, never happened.
I'm talking about the Monopoly Man's monocle that never existed. The Berenstain Bears that so many of us swear was spelled Berenstain. The iconic mirror, mirror on the wall line from Snow White that was actually magic mirror on the wall. And here's the kicker. It's not just a few people getting it wrong. We're talking about massive groups of people across generations with the same false memories. So what's really going on here? Is this just a quirk of human psychology? Or is there something deeper, maybe even existential, happening under the surface? That's what we're unpacking today.
Oh man, I love this topic, because it messes with your head in the best way. I remember the first time I heard about the Mandela effect, I was skeptical. Like, okay, maybe people just misremember stuff. But then I started noticing it everywhere. The Fruit of the Loom logo swore it had a cornucopia. The Star Wars line, Luke, I am your father, that was actually, no, I am your father. And don't even get me started on the Flintstones versus Flintstones debate. Some people insist it used to be Flintstones with one T.
But here's what really got me. These aren't just random mistakes. They're systematic. Thousands, sometimes millions of people remember the same wrong thing. And it's not just pop culture. It's historical events, geographical locations, even biblical verses. Like, how does that happen? Is our collective memory that unreliable? Or is something else at play?
That's the million-dollar question, and this book doesn't shy away from the wildest possibilities. Let's start with the Berenstain Bears example, because it's one of the most documented cases. Thousands of people, maybe even you, insist it was always Berenstain with an E. And it's not just a spelling error. People remember seeing the books, reading the books, even writing the name that way in school. But according to every official record, it's always been Berenstain with an A.
Now, the mainstream explanation is that our brains are pattern-seeking machines. The suffix Stein is way more common in names. Einstein, Frankenstein, Goldstein. So our brains autocorrect it to fit what we expect. But here's the problem. That doesn't explain why so many people misremember it the same way. And it doesn't explain the emotional certainty people feel. I've talked to people who insist they have old books with the E spelling. They're not just guessing. They remember.
Right, and that's what makes this so creepy. It's not like forgetting where you put your keys. It's a shared false memory, often with strong emotional ties. Like, people will argue with you, vehemently, that they're right, even when faced with proof. I've seen families get into heated debates over this. So if it's not just a brain glitch, what is it?
Well, the book explores a few theories, and some of them get really out there. One is the idea of parallel universes or alternate timelines. The thinking goes, maybe in another reality, it was spelled Berenstain, and somehow, our consciousness is bleeding through from that timeline. Now, I know that sounds like sci-fi, but think about quantum physics. The many worlds interpretation suggests that every decision we make splits reality into multiple branches. So what if, in one of those branches, Nelson Mandela did die in prison in the 1980s, and some of us are carrying that memory into this timeline?
Wait, hold on. That's the original Mandela effect, right? People remembering Nelson Mandela dying in prison, even though he was released in 1990 and passed away in 2013. But that's not just a spelling mistake. That's a whole historical event being misremembered. How does that even happen?
Exactly. And this is where things get dark. The book suggests that the Mandela effect might not just be about memory glitches. It could be evidence of deliberate reality manipulation. Think about it. If you control the narrative, you control history. And if you control history, you control memory. We've seen this happen in real time with things like COVID-19. Remember when they told us, 2 weeks to flatten the curve? Then it became, wear one mask. Then wear two masks. Then the vaccines will end the pandemic. Then you'll need endless boosters. The goalposts kept moving. And now, if you question it, you're called a conspiracy theorist. But people remember what was said. And when the narrative changes, it creates this cognitive dissonance. Like, wait, I know they said X, but now they're saying Y.
Oh my gosh, yes! It's like gaslighting on a mass scale. And it's not just COVID. Think about how history gets rewritten all the time. I remember learning in school that the US entered World War II because of Pearl Harbor, full stop. But then you dig deeper, and you find out about the economic sanctions, the oil embargoes, the fact that Roosevelt knew the attack was coming, and let it happen to justify going to war. And if you bring that up now, people look at you like you're crazy. But the documents are there! So is it a Mandela effect, or is it just propaganda working the way it's supposed to?
That's the scary part. It could be both. The book argues that the Mandela effect isn't just a natural phenomenon, it's exploited by people in power. If you can make people doubt their own memories, you can make them doubt everything. And once they doubt their own perception of reality, they'll rely on you, the media, the government, the experts, to tell them what's real. That's how you get people accepting things like 15-minute cities, or climate lockdowns, or digital ID to access your own money. Things that, 10 years ago, would have been unthinkable.
It's like, if you can convince people they're wrong about something as simple as a children's book title, what else can you convince them of? That's why this book is so important. It's not just about weird memory stuff. It's about how easily reality can be rewritten, and how dangerous that is.
Absolutely. And the book doesn't stop at just pointing out the problem. It gives us tools to fight back. One of the biggest is decentralized information. Think about it. If you only get your news from CNN or Fox or the New York Times, you're getting a curated version of reality. But if you're on platforms like Brighteon.social or Rumble, or even just talking to people in your local community, you're getting multiple perspectives. And that's how you start to see the cracks in the official narrative.
Yes. And it's not just about where you get your information. It's about how you process it. The book talks about something called cognitive liberty, the idea that you have the right to think for yourself, to question, to not accept the first explanation you're given. And that's huge right now, because we're in an era where big tech and governments are actively trying to control what we think. They're censoring misinformation, but who gets to decide what's true? The same people who've been lying to us for decades.
Exactly. And that's why the Mandela effect is such a wake-up call. It shows us that memory is not reliable, not because we're flawed, but because reality itself might be fluid. And if reality can shift, whether naturally or by design, then we have to be vigilant. We have to document things. We have to compare notes with others. We have to trust our instincts when something feels off.
You know, one of the craziest examples in the book is the Bible verse Mandela effects. Like, people remember the lion and the lamb verse as, "The lion shall lay down with the lamb," but the actual verse in Isaiah says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid." Totally different. And it's not just a few people, it's widespread. So what does that say about our spiritual or cultural memory? Are we being fed certain versions of reality, even in something as sacred as scripture?
That's a huge question, and the book doesn't claim to have all the answers. But it does suggest that the Mandela effect might be tied to archetypes, these deep, universal patterns in the human psyche. Carl Jung talked about this, the idea that certain symbols, stories, and themes are hardwired into us. So maybe when we misremember something, we're actually tapping into an older, more fundamental version of that idea. Like, the idea of the lion and the lamb is so powerful that our minds default to it, even if the exact wording is different.
That's fascinating. So it's not just about false memories, it's about archetypal memories. Memories that feel true because they are true on some deeper level. But then, what does that say about the nature of reality? If our minds are drawn to certain symbols or narratives, does that mean reality is shaped by our collective consciousness? Like, we're not just observing reality, we're participating in creating it?
That's the big implication here. And it ties into something else the book brings up, the observer effect in quantum physics. The idea that the act of observing something changes it. So what if, on a massive scale, our collective observation, our beliefs, our memories, our expectations, actually shapes reality? That would mean that things like the Mandela effect aren't just glitches. They're evidence that reality is more malleable than we think.
Whoa. So if enough people believe something, it could actually become real? That's next level stuff. But it also makes sense in a way. I mean, look at how money works. The dollar is just paper. It has value because we agree it has value. If enough people stopped believing in it, the whole system would collapse. So why wouldn't that apply to other parts of reality?
Exactly. And that's why the book is so empowering. It's not just saying, hey, isn't this weird? It's saying, you have more power than you realize. If reality is shaped by collective belief, then we can shape it. By questioning, by seeking truth, by refusing to accept the official narrative without evidence. That's how movements start. That's how real change happens.
I love that. It's like, we're not just passive consumers of reality. We're co-creators. And that means we have a responsibility to pay attention, to question, to engage. Because if we don't, someone else will shape reality for us. And we might not like where that leads.
Absolutely. And that's the takeaway from this book. The Mandela Effect isn't just a curiosity, it's a warning. A warning that reality is not as fixed as we've been told. That our memories can be manipulated. That history can be rewritten. But it's also a call to action. Because if reality is fluid, then we can bend it toward truth, toward freedom, toward the world we actually want to live in.
So what do we do with this? How do we apply it in our daily lives?
Great question. The book gives some practical steps. First, document everything. Keep records, save screenshots, write things down. Because if reality can shift, you want proof of what was. Second, seek out alternative sources. Don't rely on just one news outlet or one authoritative voice. Cross-reference, fact-check, talk to people outside your usual circles. Third, trust your gut. If something feels off, it probably is. And finally, connect with others. The Mandela Effect shows us that shared memories are powerful. So find communities, like Brighteon.social, that value truth and free thought. Because together, we're harder to gaslight.
That's such a good point. And honestly, it's kind of exciting. I mean, yes, it's unsettling to realize that reality might not be as solid as we thought, but it's also liberating. Because if reality can change, then we can change it for the better.
Exactly. And that's the message we want to leave you with today. The Mandela Effect isn't just about, whoops, I misremembered a logo. It's about who controls reality and how we can take that control back. Because if there's one thing this book proves, it's that we are the ones who decide what's real. Not the media, not the government. Us.
So true. And hey, if you're as fascinated by this as we are, you can actually create your own books on any topic, completely free, at BrightLearn AI. Imagine writing your own deep dive into the Mandela Effect, or quantum physics, or anything that sparks your curiosity. The tools are there. You just have to use them.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for tuning in today, everyone. We'll catch you next time on BrightLearn.ai. And remember, question everything, even the things you think you know. Because reality, it's ours to shape.